Where I am, reception is not so good. So let me see if it gets better here. No, it's the same.
Sometimes the internet is very bad. You can do one thing. You can switch off this.
We'll do that. I'm talking about the phone, but it's okay. If somehow you can't hear me, just someone send me an email. It's just, okay, let's see. Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 7. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yasyam vaishuyamanayam krishne paramapurishe patya upadyate pumsha shoka moha bayapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearlessness. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Mutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipasindu Vayebhya Patitaram Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Govardhan. I took a little break. Since I've been in India, every day people have been coming, and I've been relishing it. I've been giving in Vrindavan two classes every day, and every day at 9 o'clock I've been going out to various beautiful places in Vrindavan, usually nearby, but often Govardhan. And let's see, I mean, this last week we had Bryn from Yoga Maya and Lisa Adams, who comes to Bhakti Center, and Alexander Forsyth and Molly Davidson. And it's just so nice to see people coming forward in Krishna consciousness. And they got right off the plane. You know, they just, the whole day was engaged. The whole day. The evening kirtans in the Krishna Balaram Mandir were phenomenal, to say the least, with Agni Dev here now. Anyway, people left, and Niranjan Swami invited me to come out to Govardhan. I can't describe it, but there's like a resort area in Govardhan. And I think it's more Govardhan than what, you know, basically what you see. It's very beautiful. There's probably only, there's little cottages, maybe about 100 or something on the brick winding pathways and gardens. Probably less than 5% of the land, or 10% maximum, is their construction, just little cottages. So somehow somebody he knew gave him a cottage, and it's very, very quiet. So he invited me to come out for longer than this, but this is when I got away. Hopefully the reception keeps up. But just to keep us in context, and it's so relevant because these verses are saying that this is how you advance in spiritual life. And I do appreciate the people that hear regularly on the Sangha, and I do perceive how the process works. This is the method to transform the consciousness. That's why when Prabhupada came to America, you know, and he saw how opposed the atmosphere was to spiritual life. It's opposed. Everything is promoting the ego. Advertising promotes the ego. The culture promotes the ego. So everything is movies, everything is based on the ego. You know, become the center. That's the goal of life. And when you have that conception, which is an illusion, the illusion is fulfilled by your consciousness, the false ego, you get a false ego. The false ego funnels the consciousness into a particular body, which fulfills the desire to be in the illusion of the enjoyer and the controller by through the modes of material nature. And Prabhupada saw how prominent those modes are. That's why it's so difficult sometimes for spiritual life in the modern world we live, because everything's in passion and ignorance, and it's promoting, it's advertising, it's attracting, it's influencing. Be the enjoyer and the controller. So unless you're practicing karma yoga or preaching Krishna consciousness, there's no way to interact with the environment in a way that doesn't reinforce the conception. In other words, the objects are going to influence you unless you approach them from a particular perspective. If you approach them, if the desire is to serve, then instead of the objects impacting you with selfishness, you will confront the objects in a mood of service. And in karma yoga, by giving the results to Krishna, you see that energy as Krishna's. And that frees you from illusion. And same thing with preaching. You're using everything in Krishna's service. I remember going back to New York one time where I had to leave India, and I remember 20 years ago, and I was in America for the first time, and you know, extensively. I remember, you know, living in Brooklyn, and maybe they just got 26 Second Avenue, so I remember going over the Brooklyn Bridge and looking at the Manhattan skyline, but because of the desire to serve and be there in New York as a sannyasi to preach, I remember seeing the skyline and being enlightened as a place to share spiritual life. So you, therefore you see it as Krishna's. So how to change that desire, and that's what spiritual life is about. Changing your desire by first changing your conception. And maybe before changing your conception, changing your identity, or changing your conception and then changing your identity. I'm serving a guru in Krishna. And when you develop that identity sincerely, your conception and your desires gradually change. Now, let me just put this in context. As you remember, this is Sutta Goswami explaining to the, answering the questions of the sages in Naimisharanya on the nature of the Bhagavatam, which Sutta pronounced, he will explain to them, as the panacea for all the ills of Kali Yuga. And when he announced that, and he asked questions about the key players in the Bhagavatam, beginning with Vyas, then Sukadeva, then Maharaj, Cricket, those are the three main ones that you hear. He has just finished answering the question how Vyas became inspired by telling the story of his attempt to write, edit the Vedic literatures, and his dissatisfaction, and his guru letting him know it's wrong, that he hasn't sufficiently glorified Krishna. That the only way to transcend false ego, the false identity, the most effective way to get out of the center is to develop the desire to serve God. And the way we develop this desire to serve God is hearing about his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And when we do that, we develop an attraction to serve. And we start thinking about me, 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 false ego, which reinforces me, I am the body, me, I am the enjoyer, me, I am the body, me, I am the enjoyer, me, I am the... And so Narada very forcefully presented this in beautiful instructions, which we read, and then illustrated with his own personal example of how he became liberated, by this process, even though in many ways it was very, very much Vyas, taking the instruction to heart, which is a very important quality, is to live by truth no matter what it means. And being open to truth, it's real hard to be open to truth, because we don't know what that'll mean for our life. The conforming to truth is not conforming to our desires and comforts. So that desire, that sincere desire in the heart, I want truth no matter what it means, is probably the core basis of spiritual success. And it's the consciousness and attitude that allows us to accept conceptions and ideas that are beyond the way we see things through our attachments and desires. Anyway, Vyas is sincere. So what does he do? He takes the instruction and he applies it. Okay, I'm going to teach this to others. I have to realize it. I'm going to teach the truth to others. I'm going to realize it. I'm going to realize it by the method which my guru gave. And that's pure devotional service. So he saw the truth by his practice, And that's what we've just been reading. He saw it. And then he realized so clearly that all our miseries are actually superfluous to us. Our anarthas, the unwanted things, they're simply due to this desire and this desire to enjoy and control and the concomitant illusion that follows desire. Illusion follows desire. When that desire is not when the desire is when you desire something beyond reality, then illusion follows that desire to fulfill that desire. And he saw that. And therefore people suffer. I mean, you just take the core of suffering. The real fear of non-existence. And who here listening to this doesn't have that fear of non-existence? But we're fearing something that doesn't exist. Our non-existence is non-existent. Our non-existence is an illusion. But yet we fear it. So how to get rid of that? By realizing the true self. And in the Yoga Sutras, because I've been studying and teaching it, it clearly says what's the root cause of all suffering is ignorance. And what is ignorance? When the pure, eternal, blissful soul thinks it's the temporary suffering, impure body. It's all misidentification. So here he's concluding, Siddha Goswami is concluding what Vyasa's conclusion was. When we hear the Bhagavatam, the feeling for bhakti, upadyate, is a feeling arises in the heart. How? Shruyamanayam. Simply by giving your ears. Yasyam, certainly, by to this Vedic literature, simply by giving reception to this Vedic literature, then Krishna Paramapurusha, then under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto the Paramapurush, Krishna, Bhakti Upadyate, will sprout up. And when that sprouts up, Paha, it extinguishes shoka, lamentation, maya, illusion, and fear at once. Because when you begin to feel devotion, you begin to experience your real self. Because that's what we are. Devotion means I want to be who I am. If you have a feeling to serve, you have a feeling to love Krishna, what you're saying is, I want to be who I am. And when you say, I want to be who I am, I want to be a servant of Krishna, I want to be sheltered by Krishna, I want to be connected with Krishna. You have uprooted or reversed the very consciousness that put you in illusion. That I don't want to serve Krishna, I don't want to be who I am. And therefore, Prabhupada, in some of the purports he was quoting, the Bhagavad Gita, Daiviyeshu Gunamayi, Mama Maya Dharatya, Mamaviye Papadyante Mayam Etam, that it's impossible to overcome this energy. Because the energy of illusion that's reflecting the consciousness on a particular body, which is transforming and ultimately becoming non-existent. The consciousness that puts you there, it says that energy is impossible to overcome because it is Krishna's energy. So the only way you can become free from that illusion that's causing you suffering is to somehow inspire Krishna to remove that energy. But the only reason Krishna has covered you with the illusory energy is because you wanted to have a position, because you didn't want to be a devotee. The perfectional state of living at the is a devotee. You didn't want to be a devotee. And therefore, Krishna reflects the consciousness on a particular material body that gives the illusion that I'm the enjoyer and controller. So what the Gita says, if the suffering you're in is caused by illusion, and the illusion is coming from, if the illusion is Krishna's energy, and therefore the will of Krishna, which is simply responding to our desire not to be a devotee, then if we change that desire to not be a devotee to the desire I want to surrender to Krishna, I want to be a devotee, then Krishna will say, okay, if you want reality, I'll give you reality. If you want reality, I'll give you reality. And in reality, there'll be no suffering. So that's spiritual life. If we want reality, then we can have reality. But do we want reality? Because reality is not, we're not the enjoyers, we're not the controllers, we're not God, we're not the center, the world doesn't revolve around us. The real fundamental question of spiritual life is, do we want reality? And it's something right in our hearts now that we have to confront. No. Surrender to Krishna. Move according to his will. What about my will? So this is the core thing. Do we want reality? And the only way we want reality is if we are attracted to reality. Reality is, we're the servants of reality. The only way we're going to be liberated is we develop love for reality. And therefore we have to hear about reality. And that's what the Bhagavatam is. You hear about reality. Rasa Vai Saha. Rasa Vai Saha. What is reality? There's God and there's love for God. So So how to develop that? Here it says, you hear about it. It's actually a very attractive thing, but we're conditioned to think otherwise. I remember this story when I showed a slide, maybe 35 years ago, when a young semi-fanatic Hare Krishna, and I visited my brothers in Park Slope. My mother was there, and I showed a slideshow of someone bowing down before Prabhupada. My brother said, I don't bow down before no one. To him, that was a hard.
Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami. I don't know, can you hear me? I think you can. So I'm going to continue the class, praying that you can.
I can hear you, Maharaj.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You know, I'm in a place with very bad reception. So, you know, that's what happened. But I think it'll be okay. Anyway, what I'm going to do now, anyway, so the basic point is the conclusion here is by oral reception, you'll develop a desire to serve Krishna. And therefore, a desire to be who you are. And when you develop a desire to be who you are, there's no need for God to put you in illusion to fulfill your desire. There's no need for... Yeah, I'm back. So it goes off occasionally. So what I'm doing now is I've made the general point that all our anxieties are simply due to a desire not to be who we are. And if we can hear about Krishna and develop a desire to be who we are, none of our inebrieties or kleshas or troubles will be there. Now, I'm going to read Prabhupada's purport and how he elucidates this point. And he's going to first talk about that hearing itself is the most absorbing method of focusing the consciousness on God and therefore developing an attraction to him. Purport, there are various senses of which the ear is most effective. This sense works even when a man is deep asleep. One can protect himself from the hands of an enemy while awake, but while asleep, one is protected by the ear only. The importance of hearing is mentioned here in connection with attaining the highest perfection of life, namely getting free from three material pangs. Everyone is full of lamentation at every moment. He is after the mirage of material things, and he's always afraid of his supposed enemy. These are the primary symptoms of material disease. We're always hankering and we're always lamenting. Lamenting means we desire things in our world that we've lost. Hankering means we desire things in our world that we haven't gotten yet. And really, the time doesn't really exist now. It exists in the past. It exists in the future. It doesn't exist now. Always, mind is always, and that's why, you know, time flies when you're having a good time, because you're absorbed. So, everyone is full of lamentation at every moment, because there's so many things we want that we've lost because we're not controlling the world. And we're always afraid of others and of them usurping the resources we have. And this is all born from the platform of the false ego. And it is definitely suggested herein that simply by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets attachment to the Supreme Personality of Krishna. And as soon as this is affected, the symptoms of the material disease disappear. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead, and in this statement, the all-perfect personality of Godhead, Krishna, is clearly confirmed. So here, the previous verse said, apashyat purusham purnam, he saw the Supreme Lord. And now again, he's confirming by giving reception, listening to the Vedic literatures, the feeling for purusham param. Here it's saying, Krishna paramapurush, the paramapurush, the Supreme Person. The ultimate result of devotional service is to develop genuine love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Love is a word which is often used in relationship with man and woman, and love is the only word that can be properly used to indicate relation between Lord Krishna and the living entities. The living entities are mentioned as Prakriti in the Bhagavad Gita. And in Sanskrit, Prakriti is a feminine object. The Lord is always described as the Parama Purush, or the Supreme Male Personality. Thus, the affection between the Lord and the living entities is something like that between the male and the female. Therefore, the term of love is quite appropriate. This world is a reflection of the ultimate world. And the ultimate attraction is Prakriti and Purush. So it's the ultimate attraction. the attraction of the ultimate reality is God and his energies, which are Prakriti. And it's somehow reflected here. Loving devotional service to the Lord begins with hearing about the Lord. So without hearing, you can't change your mind. If you can't change your mind, you'll stay in the same misconceptions that have ruled our life and it causes so much suffering. Just think of, in the history of our life, all the misconceptions we have had and all the trouble they have caused us. And the only way that you became free from misconceptions and have been able to lead a better life is by hearing. Hearing. There is no difference between the Lord and the subject matter heard about him. The Lord is absolute in all respects, and there's no difference between him and the subject matter heard about him. This is a phenomena that I've mentioned this before, that God creates the world according to certain of his own laws. And one law is that certain objects can be transformed into other objects and certain can't. Iron can become fire. Water cannot. Fire is heat and light. Wood can, you know, wood becomes consumed. I mean, it produces heat and light, but it becomes consumed. Iron becomes heat and light. So similarly, there are certain objects, certain combinations of syllables called mantras that can be Krishnaized or Godized and transformed completely. And the Yoga Sutras, directly, which deals with this, describes vachya, the vachika, the expression of something, and vachya, the object which is expressed. And on the spiritual platform, there's no difference. So when you chant mantras, there's direct communion with God. When you hear the subject matter of God, it's a direct communion with God. And I've had that experience. I say it many times when that young, intelligent young man was traveling with me. Jagadish, got his name is Jagadish now, but his name before was James. When he was traveling with me, and for 1.5 years, I taught him the Bhagavatam, and I would prepare 5 verses, really understanding them and understanding them in context. He was such a good listener. He had such concentration. And my experience was, there was a certain content, certain message. I felt confident that I can communicate that message. And it became beyond the intellect. It was experiential. He was experiencing God through hearing. That's the way it is. That's the process. And when you get communion with God, it brings out your natural attraction. It's just like a child is born, and that's the child's mother, and immediately there's love because there's a natural relationship. So we have a natural relationship with God, and as soon as we are cognizant of God, in communion with God, in the presence of God, in the form of his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, the natural love in our heart comes out. Therefore, hearing about him means immediate contact with him by the process of vibration of the transcendental sound. And the transcendental sound is so effective. It's so effective. That it acts at once by removing all material affections mentioned above. As mentioned before, a living entity develops a sort of complexity by material association, and the illusory engagement of the material body is accepted as an actual fact. Yet we develop a complexity because, you know, the truth is always simple. The lie is a complexity. So to keep up the conception that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller, which we're not, we constantly have to bluff, we constantly have to cover ourselves, we have to maneuver, we have to position. There's so many anxieties because things are changing so rapidly beyond our control, and we have to plan how to keep them. Manipulate and control. It's so complex. Material life is so complex. Under such false complexity, the living entity under different categories of life becomes illusioned in different ways. Even in the most developed stage of human life, the same illusion prevails in the form of many isms, which the Lord, many isms, and divides the loving relation with the Lord, and thereby divides the loving relationship between man and man. There's so many isms, so many identities, the world of names. When you really become Krishna conscious, it becomes a simplicity. Decisions even become simpler. How do I serve Krishna? But how do I control and how do I enjoy and how do I get the most out of it? By hearing the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, this false complexity of materialism is removed and real peace in society begins, which politicians aspire for so eagerly in so many political situations. The politicians want a peaceful situation between man and man, and nation and nation, but at the same time, because of too much attachment for material domination, there is illusion and fearfulness. Therefore, the politicians' peace conferences cannot bring about peace in the society. It can only be done by hearing the subject matter described in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The foolish politicians may go on holding peace and summit conference this for hundreds of years, but they will fail to achieve success. Until we you want peace, but as long as there is desire, there's going to be violence. Because you're going to want to encroach upon another person. So even though there may be some sincerity, if the peace is not based on a real platform of unity, which is God, it's not going to remain peaceful. And real understanding of God, not an understanding of God as a historical faith, or not understanding religion as historical faith, but understanding religion as the nature of the soul. On that platform, there's no sectarianism. You look at a person in another religion and you see the same thing, if they are sincerely dedicated to their soul, which is a servant of Krishna. Until we reach the stage of reestablishing our lost relationship with Krishna, the illusion of accepting the body of the self would prevail, and thus fearfulness will also prevail. And for the validity of Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are hundreds and thousands of evidences from revealed scripture, and there are hundreds and thousands of evidences from personal experience of devotees in places like Vrindavan, Navadvip, and Puri. Even in the Kaumudi dictionary, the synonyms of Krishna are given as the son of Yashoda and the Supreme Personality of God at Param Brahman. The conclusion is that simply by hearing the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, one can have direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Sri Krishna, and thereby one can attain the highest perfection of life by transcending worldly miseries, illusion, and fearfulness. These are the practical tests for one who is actually given a submissive hearing to the readings of the Bhagavatam. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, do you have any questions?
Oh, yes, I do. But just two, though.
I have to give you one. What?
Yeah.
Because I have another appointment, but...
Oh, okay.
Give me one.
All right. I was just wondering, you know, James Jagadish, you know, how did that manifest his experiencing, not just hearing and... realizing, but his experiencing.
Say that again. How did I what?
How did James's experiencing
because
the Bhagavatam manifest?
Okay. Because this is what I felt and my realization at the time is that. That the message is Krishna. So what I felt is I was really studying so that actually I can represent the message. And he was a very good student. He was really attentive. So when an attentive student hears the message, he's not just understanding a message, he's experiencing God, who is the message. Mm-hmm. And I had that distinct realization that we were both experiencing something beyond the intellect, which was Krishna.
Well, I guess it'll have to happen for me to understand that.
Well, I think I have more faith in you than you have in yourself.
Well, that's good.
Okay. Anybody?
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Haribo, this is Atman and Zach.
I wanted to explain to you about Angi and Anga.
Yeah.
It literally means, Angi means the body and Anga means the limbs. So it means something that's part of something else and gets its meaning from something else. So sometimes it's used in terms of what was the context of it? Actually, let me just 1 second. Take me a second. Oh yeah. So in terms of the six symptoms of surrender, the basic conception is you're my maintainer, which means you are my shelter, right? And God being the shelter is not just supplying our food; it's giving us life by the relationship that we're seeking, which is love, which is a real thing that nourishes ourselves. So God is the shelter. So the basic concept of surrender is that I accept that God is the maintainer. And all the other ones, all the other limbs of surrender are part of that. You know, God is my shelter. Okay, he's also my protector. God is my shelter. Yes, I embrace the humble position. God is my shelter. I surrender everything to him. God is my shelter. I will do what's favorable to please him. God is my shelter. I will do everything. I avoid everything that's not favorable to that love and that shelter and that relationship. So therefore, the angi, the body of surrender, is God is my maintainer, my shelter. And the angi are the other ones, because they're parts of that, just like the hand is part of the body. Okay, does that help?
Yes, that's very helpful, Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Hi, Bo. Jai. That's Kala Chandri and who else?
Hare Krishna,
Maharaj.
Chaitanya Priya.
Thank you. Yes. A few more people.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Priya. Thank you.
You have answered everything I had in my mind this morning.
Thank you.
With this class.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chaitanya Priya. Anybody else
Hare
say
Krishna.
Hello? Is that Leela? Who is that?
What did Krishna do the most to help people?
Who is this?
Leela Manjari.
Leela Manjari, how nice to hear from you. Thank you for attending the class today. Did you want to ask a question?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Leela. Good. Now we're having a group.
What did Krishna do the most to help people?
I can't hear very good. I can't hear so
what
clearly.
What did Krishna do the most to help people?
Can someone... I can't hear it. I can't make it out because the reception is not good.
I think she said, what did Krishna do the most to help people? What does Krishna do the most to help people?
What does Krishna do the most to help people? He gives them love in their hearts. The thing that Krishna does most to help people is he gives them love in their hearts.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leela. Wonderful. Lisa wrote me that Leela wants to be my student. That's her daughter. So she's now listens to the Sanghas on Sundays and asks questions. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Malati.
Oh, Hare Bol.
Hare Bol, thank you for class today.
Okay,
yes, I
great.
Have.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, she had such a time. Wow. Okay, anybody
she
else?
She did.
Like to say
I'll be right back.
Okay. Anybody else say hello? The reception is getting worse and worse. Okay, maybe we'll just have to end for today. Thank you. Panchakalpa Tugya Sakha Prasinda Devi Chopati Tanam.